Thank you, Timon. You'll have to forgive me for what I'm about to confess, but I have been texting during this service to see how we're being received over the webcast. And my understanding is that early in the webcast, things were a little difficult to be heard. There was maybe some buffering. I don't know if this is, we're using sermon audio and their technology, and maybe they're adjusting to the number of churches that are doing what we're doing. So for that reason, I want to repeat just one thing that was said earlier, and that's why we're doing this. I want to stress why we're not doing it because there are confirmed cases of the coronavirus in our community. We're not doing it because someone in our church has a coronavirus. We're doing it because the governor declared a state of public health emergency and requested that churches cancel services. So to honor his request and as a means to love our neighbor, we decided, the leadership of the church decided we would forego opening the doors or encouraging corporate worship in that sense and just do something that people could participate in home. This will be a week-by-week decision. It's a hard and difficult decision, and not something that we entered into lightly, and something quite frankly that's very, very hard and very sad that we, but as Timon mentioned, may this help us to long for being together with God's people. We're going to be considering together this morning Psalm 46, so if you have a Bible, you could turn there. I'm reading from the English Standard Version this morning, and I'll be reading the entire psalm, all 11 verses. So hear God's word. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Oh God, we pray for help to understand your word, and I pray that throughout the remainder of our webcast, there would be little to no technical problems, that your word could go forth unhindered. And we pray for application and right understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. Please have a seat, those of you who are with us. It's stating the obvious that we are in worrisome days, troublesome days. Who could have predicted 3 months ago that we'd be where we are? Who could have predicted a week ago? Who could have predicted 3 days ago? My impression was that Wednesday night the bottom fell out. The NBA canceled its season, and like dominoes, schools, NCAA tournament, a variety of things were canceled. The president declares a state of emergency on Friday. Our governor follows suit, and so here we are, many of us watching this service online. These are historical times we're living in. We will be speaking to them about them for years to come. And there's obviously a lot of fear in the air. There's a lot of uncertainty. Timon prayed about it. He mentioned it in his prayer. How will this virus affect me? How will it affect my family? How is this going to affect the economy? A lot of questions. A lot of uncertainty. And it's uncertainty that always drives our doubts and our fears. And aren't we fortunate, we can say, aren't we glad that we've got Psalm 46? Not just this passage, but many others. But we have Psalm 46. And we're just going to park ourselves this morning in Psalm 46 and look for God's comfort. I've told this story before, but the great reformer Martin Luther, in his dark days, you think about Luther's fight for the gospel during the days of the Reformation, but also he lived in a time of plagues and sickness. This was the Middle Ages. There were great plagues. And during Luther's trying days, he would say to his co-laborer, Philip Melanchthon, he would say, "Philip, let's sing the 46th. And what he meant by that was, we're going to sing the psalm, the 46th psalm, which we have done, and hopefully maybe you have as well, is our first song hymn this morning. That's actually Psalm 46 put to music. And so we need to be singing the 46th ourselves. When should we sing this psalm? Well, it's pretty obvious, but I'm going to give us three reasons based out of this text why we should be, and when we should be singing the 46th, so to speak, when we should be rooting ourselves in the promises of this particular psalm. And the first is obvious. In times of fear, in times of fear, if you could follow with me in verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. This psalm doesn't waste time. It launches us right into the source of comfort and encouragement. And we're told that God is a refuge. He's a place to hide. He's a place for comfort. He's a place for protection. That's what a refuge is. Not only is he our refuge, we're told, he's our strength. He gives grace for suffering and for trial. Now, when you think of a refuge, if I can consider the safest type of refuge, I think of a cave, you know, in terms of a storm. And we can think of, God wants us to think of him as a refuge, a place to be hidden. He is our hiding place. That's a biblical understanding. We can think of strength when we are weak, and we're all weak. We're all under tremendous stress. This situation is one of constant stress. It's hard to escape. It's always on our minds. And maybe a word of good advice would be to pay less attention to the news, not to go live in a cave and stick our heads in the sand, but to diminish the constant drumbeat of fearful messages and instead turn to our refuge. This passage, verse 1, says that God is a present help. He's an accessible help. He's to be counted on. He's near and he's close. Now, when is that? Look at verses 2 and 3. "Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling." What could possibly be more calamitous than that? Than mountains being uprooted into the ocean. If you visited the Rockies, you visited the Smokies, you've seen mountains. Can you imagine being on vacation, and maybe we've got somebody watching from Colorado. Can you imagine Pike's Peak suddenly being ripped from its roots? What would that do to you? This is basically, the psalm is saying, if the worst happens, God is there, and we will not fear. That's what it's saying. I mean, the unthinkable. In some ways, these past few days are a bit unthinkable for us. It is unthinkable for me to be in this context, to preach to basically an empty room. Not apologies to those who are present. We have about 12 of us here. But this is unthinkable. It's unthinkable what could happen. And so, what are your fears? Think on them right now. Losing your job. Catching the coronavirus. Think on your fears. Put your finger on them and then say, "This God's word tells me that God is here. He is with me. He's a source of comfort and strength. He can be my refuge." How? He's sovereign. The coronavirus did not surprise God. This did not surprise him. He rules and he reigns over all his creation and all of his creatures. He can somehow use this. I don't know how. God's providence can only be read like the Hebrew language, and that's backwards. But God is our refuge, and He's our refuge because He's sovereign. He's our strength because what defines Him is mercy and compassion. He cares for us. We need to remind ourselves of that. And He's present with us. And first and foremost, He's present with us in the giving of His Son, the person of His Son, the Son who is the exact representation of His being, the Son who took on human flesh and came and lived a life of perfect obedience and died in the place of sinners and rose again from the grave. He's ascended into heaven. He sits at the Father's right hand and He lives within us by His Spirit. He's present. He's present with us. I've mentioned C.S. Lewis many, many times, and I couldn't help but think as I thought about the encouragement God's presence is to give as I think about Aslan. Lewis's great character in the Chronicles of Narnia, and Aslan the lion, who clearly pictures Jesus Christ. Aslan gives himself for the traitor Edmund in The Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe. He's put to death on the stone table, but then the next morning, in that great story, the stone table is cracked in two, and Aslan defeats death. He pictures Jesus. Great stories. But if you remember in those stories, I can remember reading, and this is kind of throughout the seven Chronicles of Narnia, how at the mention of Aslan's name, his people are encouraged. The people are encouraged. When we camp out in Psalm 46, we get our fears dealt with, and courage comes at the mere mention of who God is, the mere mention of His promises, even if the unthinkable happens. Let me give you a quote I hope you can hang on to. It's from the great British pastor Martin Lloyd-Jones. He said this, "Faith is a refusal to panic. Faith is a refusal to panic." Why not? Because God's almighty power, He's our refuge, coupled with His fatherly care, He's our strength, is there to sustain us. So we ought to sing the 46th in a manner of speaking. We ought to rest in it when we're fearful. But we ought to rest in it, not only in times of fear, but in times of struggle. That comes out to us, I believe, in verses 4 through 7. "There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage. The kingdoms totter. He utters His voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." The city is synonymous with Zion, which is synonymous with Jerusalem. That's David's city. That's meant to describe the place where God lives with His people. And as we look to the book of Revelation, we can see that the heavenly city is what comes with God, with which He dwells with His people. I think it's fair to say that a New Testament understanding of this city is the church, is God's people. So God dwells with His people, and they shall not be moved, it says in verse 5. They can't be shaken, they can't be toppled. The church, God's people, will survive. Well, God has a bride for His Son. This doesn't mean that we don't face difficulty and hardship, because look at verse 6. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. This is their adversarial position against God's people, that His city is under siege, so to speak. So what's God's response? He speaks, and the earth melts, according to verse 6. When we sing, "A mighty fortress is our God," like was sung this morning, we sing these words, "And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed His truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, His doom is sure. One little word shall fail him." And that little word that Luther calls in that fourth stanza is defined as the word above all earthly powers. So what Luther is drawing out of this psalm is that the same God who spoke creation into existence can speak his enemies into oblivion. Verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. The Lord of hosts, the Lord of the armies of heaven. He is our fortress, the covenant-keeping God of mercy. Again, is one in whom we hide in the midst of great trial, in the midst of great struggle. I've been reminded of this quote from J.R. Tolkien's The Lord of the Rings. You remember the conversation that Frodo, the hobbit, is having with Gandalf the wizard. And Frodo has been commissioned to take this evil ring of power and destroy it. And it's a great burden. It's a great trial. It's brought him many hardships. And so Frodo says to Gandalf, I wish the ring had never come to me. I wish none of this had happened. And Gandalf, the wise, responds, so do all who live to see such times. But that is not for them to decide. All we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to us. Well, who gives us our time? The Lord gives us our time. And I think all of us would say, I wish this had never happened. I wish this virus had never spread. I wish it never started in China. I wish it had never come to me. And I think the words of Gandalf are helpful. All of us think that. The challenge is, what do we do with the times, the struggle in which we find ourselves? So where are you struggling this morning? Where are you struggling to be faithful and patient? Where are you struggling at being fearful? What's going to happen to us as the days and weeks progress? And Lord willing, this ends sooner rather than later, and we will pray to that end. But every day that we experience it, there's stress. You know what stress brings? It brings tension. It brings tension in families. It brings tension with others. There's going to be a struggle to love and be patient. There's going to be a struggle to be concerned for those outside of your own immediate family. We need God's grace. We need Him to help us in that struggle. We need God to be with us during these days. And He promises to do so. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. So the 46th, it's there for us in times of fear, in times of struggle. And lastly, it's with us in times of uncertainty. And that comes out in verses 8 through 11 that we've read. And what happens here is that the psalm moves from present trial to future hope. Come, behold, verse 8, come, behold the works of the Lord, how He has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. This is a picture of a battlefield littered with broken weaponry. In other words, God, the King, is victorious. And that what flows out of this victorious king is verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. This is God's word to his enemies. I will be exalted. I will be worshiped. Every knee one day will bow to me. It's the message of Revelation. And when he says, be still and know that I am God, it's not unlike Jesus' words to the storm. Peace, be still. Hush. Go away. Listen to me. I am King and there is no other. The book of Revelation sums it up for us well, does it not? Jesus wins. That's the message. Jesus wins. And God says to us, and he says to his and our enemies, he says to the coronavirus, I will reign. That's bottom line. He is the conquering king. And so when we're uncertain about a wide range of things, let's be reminded God is king and he hadn't gone anywhere. He's still on his throne. He still rules and he reigns. And his promise is that for his people, there is always the happiest and most certain of endings. And this verse ends with great words of comfort again. The Lord of hosts is with us. It's verse 7 repeated. The God of Jacob is our fortress. That's the gospel message, is it not? The Lord of hosts is with us. God with us, that's Emmanuel. Christ is with us by His Word and Spirit. He is our fortress. We are hidden in Him. We put our faith and comfort in Him. There's gospel hope here in Psalm 46. Let me close with this. 1735, John Wesley, known as a founder of the Methodist Church, the Methodist denomination, came to the colonies from England as a missionary, although he was not yet a believer. It was an interesting circumstance. He came as an Anglican missionary, was not yet truly a believer, and while en route to the colonies, John Wesley, being English, encountered some German Christians on the ship in which he was traveling. They're called Moravians. Moravians are believers who have roots in one of the oldest Protestant groups in the world. They are tied to John Hus, the great reformer from what is now known as Czechoslovakia. And so anyway, Wesley's on his way across the Atlantic to the colonies, and he's at sea, and these German Christians are worshiping, and a great storm arises on the sea, and Wesley is terrified. Now, listen to his own words as he recounts the event that took place in his diary. He says, "In the midst of the psalm wherewith their service of worship began," there being the Moravian Christians, "the sea broke over, split the mainsail in pieces, covered the ship, and poured in between the decks as if the great deep had already swallowed us up. A terrible screaming began among the English. The Germans, the Moravian Christians, calmly sung on. I asked one of them afterwards, 'Were you not afraid?' He answered, 'I thank God, no.' I asked, 'But were not your women, and children afraid?' He replied mildly, 'No, our women and children are not afraid to die.' The storm was boisterous, but the Moravians kept praising God, and finally the storm subsided. May God give us grace as the church, as believers, to be like these Moravian Christians and give testimony to God's grace while others around us may be yielding to fear. May God's grace in Psalm 46, may it give us courage." You know, if you look at your scriptures, you'll see the word Selah there in the end of the psalm. And most likely that was an added word as the early scriptures were copied. But that word basically means to pause and consider. Consider this psalm. Think on it. Dwell on it. So I have a specific application for all of us. I want us to memorize Psalm 46, all 11 verses. You've already got verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. 10 more verses to go. I want us to memorize it, and I want us to treat this psalm like a rack of ribs off the smoker. We're gonna chew it, we're going to clean the bones, and then we're going to suck the bones dry. That's what I want us to do with Psalm 46. I want us to live here. I want us to camp out here, so that by God's grace, we will not fear. Would you pray with me? Oh God, we thank You for Your Word, and we pray that it would give us comfort, it would give us confidence, it would give us courage. Lord, I pray for us as a church. Help us to respond with courage and not fear. Help us to love You and love one another. Give us grace to minister to those around us, even when we're being urged to keep a distance. Lord, give us wisdom. Give us grace. Give us wisdom as a church. Give us wisdom as Your people. Oh God, fill us again, we pray, with courage. May it be said of us that we will not fear, because You are with us and You are our fortress. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.